So should we pray for him? No. So children, if you'd like to go with Joanna. Bless you. Have a great time. Shall we reach out our hands and pray for Pokong? Father, we thank you for Pokong. Thank you for his life. Thank you for this word that you've given to him. And we know that for all of us, in a sense, there's a price to pay to come and to share. So we pray a blessing on him. And we pray that you'd help him. Come on him, Holy Spirit, and help him to share what you've placed on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Augustus Montague, top lady, was returning home after preaching in a nearby village of Blackdon in the county of Somerset. He was caught in a storm in the gorge of Burrington Coombe, and found shelter in a gap in the gorge. While sheltering from the storm, I just wondering what he was thinking, you know. Probably he might be singing, "Rain, rain, go away, come again another day." Or maybe he said, "Why now? You know, I'm in my best Sunday suit." Obviously, I do not know what he was thinking, but from what I know, there was this person, Abbott De Bono. He devised these six thinking hats. And doctors have shown that the brain produces chemicals. So when you are negative in your thoughts, it produces chemicals that pertains to negativity, and which will affect your even affect your body, and also it will destroy creativity as well. So he developed these six thinking hats so that he would say, you know, when you're on a creative mood, you put on the creative activity hat, and that's all you do, and you just write whatever creative thoughts you may have. It doesn't matter what is, doesn't matter how silly it is. You write, do not analyze it. You just, in your creative, you just write. Don't analyze, just write. And then after that, you put on the next hat, and probably the hat of critical thinking. Then you can analyze. So by separating the brain so that when you are on your creative thinking, all your creative juices will flow and helps with creativity. And but on the other hand, if you do not allow that and you start thinking negative, that destroys your creativity. And I guess Augustus, though it was bad, it was raining, it was getting wet, it was cold, he managed to find a place of shelter. Okay, the next one. And he was hiding there. And I think rather than thinking negatively, I think he was thinking probably Psalm 91. You know, what does it say? Under your wings, I will find refuge. He who dwells in the shelter of Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snares and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And while he was sheltering in the cleft, he was inspired to write a hymn. A simple hymn. And yet, for me, that hymn just basically encompass the Bible all into that hymn. You know, the Bible just condensed very nicely into that hymn. And I'm glad he wasn't complaining, you know, oh me, oh my, why this? Why can't it rain after I'm home? I'm glad he was inspired by just a rock. It helped me. June 28, I had to go for an operation for my bowel cancer. They removed my bowels, this part. So I'm gutless. Well, not totally, but partially gutless. And during when I was in the hospital, I went through a difficult time in Psalm 23, even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and I got stung there. I got stuck.
Thank you.
We love you, Boko.
I'm leaking. Yeah, even though I walked through the valley of shadow death and I couldn't move on. And the doctor said that the operation is a major operation and it should be quite routine. And there are two things that they were worried that could go wrong. And one was leakage. And that the other one I couldn't understand is to do with retention, fluid retention. And I was doped up with drugs that didn't help. It's meant for my good. It's a prophylactic. But it just messed me up. And I was in a dark place. And should any of the things happen, complication, and they have to do emergency surgery, I would have said, please, don't. I want a DNR. Do not resuscitate. I was just all messed up. And next day, I was as bright as any. Could be the drugs, they could have been pumping me heroin. I don't know. Or morphine, I think. Not heroin. But it comes from the same plant. Yeah. And this song that Augustine wrote helped me. I've not sung that song for a long time, so I remember verse 1 and verse 4 very well. 2 and 3, I was singing and then was trying to guess, you know, what could it be? Oh, and eventually it kind of got jumbled up. But this came to mind and it really was my anchor. Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from their wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save me from wrath and make me pure. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Far I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And this one I hang on to. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I saw troubles unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And I keep singing over and over again, especially verse 4. And I begin to thank God. I thank God because out of the bowel screening program, they caught the cancer at an early stage. I thank God because I got the best colonoscopy surgeon or doctor. And not before the procedure, the practice nurse would just go through things. And he looked up and see who was going to be the person performing the procedure and said, oh, if I could choose anyone, I would choose him because he is good. So I got the best and he was thorough. So he didn't miss anything. So he took his time, he shoved the thing up and it's my word. You see this part? Doesn't look much, but my word is quite long, you know. how it went up, I do not know, but anyway, he was going in and out, you know, in and out. And, it was, local, I was local, it was under gas, so I was seeing what was happening. And, at some point, I was kind of, I was puffing on the gas. And there was some points because of the pain, I was kind of almost going to go under with pain. But I saw it going up and down, in and out, you know, and look there. It was thorough and he caught it and he said to me, after the procedure, he said, you know, you got cancer. I've taken biopsy. I've put a marker on it so that, the surgeon know where it is. So I got a good doctor to scan and find out. Then the next stage was, doctors come together to discuss my case and see what was the best action. And there were two doctors. One likes to hang drawn and quarter and open up. And that's another one, VJ. He specialized in keyhole surgery. And they discussed case and say, I'll take this case. And I'm so glad. No, just thinking, oh, thank you, Lord, it's only a keyhole and not the hand drawn and quartered. So I got three holes and a slit. Unfortunately, they can't remove the gut through the keyhole, so they have to make a slit to remove my colon. So it's minimal, but still uncomfortable, but yeah. And thank God for Emily knew a friend, Matilda, managed to get me a room to myself. And I had my own private toilet. And yeah, precisely. Thank God. And don't want to go into much detail because like... Oh, I could go a lot more detail. It's lunch is next. Anyway, the doctor said that because of this general major operation, the body was shut down, the guts and everything inside were shut down. And my body didn't know, basically it just shut down, it just forgotten what to do. And I was bung up both ends. And having a private toilet, boy, when I could let go, I thank God. And having a toilet of your own, you don't have to worry about the state of the toilet. You know, when I had to go, I had to go, and I do not have to worry. I can put my things around me, and it's my own private area. And I thank God, that was great. And so, in all, rather than focusing on the negative part of recovering from cancer, no, I thank God for all the things. And another thing, the nurses was quite pleasing to the eyes. You may laugh. At night, it is dark and dim. There's no lights, and the only lights is the nurse's station that lit. So it's very dim and shadowy. And boy, and they keep waking me up so many times in the night. And I was doped up. I was probably half comatose, and being woken up to see an angelic face is... rather than being shocked out of your bed, one eye, teeth missing, long nose with a big wart, So thank God for eye-pleasing nurses. So, that somehow changed things rather than dwell on the not so good side. It kind of lift me up, and that really helped. I was so thankful. I was thankful for Augustus for just rather than complaining, came up with this song. And it helped me. It just fitted. It was what I needed. Anyway, moving on. While I was preparing, I was stuck on this next section. I just couldn't know how to deliver it. Then, one night I was watching Netflix, Wonder, the movie Wonder, and was sitting watching it, and then I felt God came and sat right beside me. And that moment, just at that moment, I got it. I knew. God just showed me what I needed to continue. It's the stories about how a parent struggle with a child born with some sort of defect. And after years, and years later, and after, I think it was over 20-something operation, he was kind of so-called as normal as can be. And it just talked about the story, this is a story about how the child struggled. And after 20-odd so operation, his face was kind of scarred. And so, at Christmas, somebody gave him an astronaut helmet, and he put that on everywhere he went, because he just felt uncomfortable, because people would look and then turn away and then look. And so he just put his helmet on, and all people see is just a child with an astronaut helmet. It was a kind of his crutch, so to speak. And there was a scene where the father came to him, his name was Augie, and he said to Augie, as the story went, the helmet was misplaced. He couldn't find the helmet. So for a large part of his life, he went about without his helmet. And then later on, father told Augie, I actually hidden the helmet. It's in my office. Why that? Why you do that? I needed that. Yeah, I know. I know, Augie. And he said to him, but you were going everywhere with that helmet on. And the father said to him, I miss seeing you. I miss seeing you. The father didn't see a scar-faced child. He saw his son whole. And he told him, I miss seeing you. And it is something like God our Father. God is our Father. And He's a God that loves us and really cares. He understands no matter what situation or whatever circumstances you are in, no matter how painful, how ugly you feel, how low, whatever the pain, like this father saying to his son, come, I'm missing you. And this is our father who really understands what we are going through. Really. Because He created us, He put us together, and God not only see the physical, He knows spirit, mind and soul. He knows us through and through. He knows all our feelings. He understands. He is a God who knows everything. He knows our pain. And even when we don't feel nice about ourselves, it doesn't bother Him. Because you are His son. You are His daughter. He sees you as a whole person, warts and all. And God is always there. He says, Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He understands, he knows how we really feel. He knows our thoughts, he knows our struggles and our pain. Because he's our creator. Psalm 139. You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. And you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me. Even darkness will not be dark to you and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So there's no way of hiding from God. And he knows us. It's something to be thankful. Because while I was sitting there in my darkest time, what I draw comfort was when I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I saw two worlds unknown, see thee on the judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me. I knew then that whatever the outcome, I am certain that when I draw my last breath, I know who is going to wait for me at the other side. God said, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. I know for certain that when I cross over, Jesus will be there to receive me. I'm not alone. Something that I was so thankful, not knowing, and yet, having the certainty that someone will receive me, and what's and all, he will gladly see me. No blemish. Though I might feel not nice, no, at one point, I could not look down there. It was quite, well, for me, it was quite Gili, I don't know how you say Gili. Gili. Anyway, and it was
squeamish,
yeah. And yet, I can come to God present and he doesn't face him off. Whatever the situation, God is glad to receive us just as we are. Just as we are. No need to be ashamed. And even if you don't feel good about yourself, He can still come. He will still take you as you are. Today's lesson is on 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Can next one. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Yes, it's easy to give thanks during good times, but how about bad times? In verse 18 it says, to give thanks in all circumstances. What does that really mean, to give thanks in all circumstances? Do I give thanks for my bowel cancer? Is that what he's saying? How about rape, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, abuse of any kind? Give thanks in all circumstances? No, that is not what it's saying. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. It did not say, give thanks for all circumstances. The focus is, give thanks, not the circumstances that you're in. The focus is, whatever situation you are in, give thanks. Give thanks, for that is the will of God for you. Oswald Chambers said, we are not responsible for the circumstances we are in, but we are responsible for the way we allow those circumstances to affect us. We can either allow them to get on top of us, or we can allow them to transform us into what God want us to be. And God knows us through and through, and by default, we are negative. Someone worked out that about 80% of the time we say negative things. Huh? Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's a lovely dress, but you know, if you count the number of buts, and you know what I'm talking about, you know. Oh, but so in any situation, give thanks, rejoice, and pray. Why? Because we have a Father in heaven who really know us, who really understand us, and we have a hope that no matter what the circumstances, even when you draw your last breath, you can be sure on the other side, Jesus will be there to meet you. You don't have to worry, oh, what is going to be like? That is the certainty. Rejoice. Give thanks. Because you are not alone. The Amplified version says, rejoice and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And it's helpful to think, well, it helped me after that night to switch over and to remember Rock of Ages. Because negative thinking spirals us down. It produces chemicals in our brain that is not helpful. And if it's consistent, it would may even cause mental illness, cause depression. So that's why God say, in all things, don't dwell on the negative. Find ways to give thanks. Come and see me, and I show you what to be thankful about. Focus on me, not on the circumstances. Focus on me, because I will not leave you in this state. My grace is sufficient. I will find a way out for you. You only have to listen and obey and follow. Even though you do not know through the darkness where you're going, you trust in me and you come to me. I will see you through. In Matthew 6:27, do not worry. Can anyone by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we rise above the circumstances. Rejoice and be thankful. Give thanks in all situations. But then you may ask, then why do you allow this to happen? Why do you allow that? Great. Lord, why did you not intervene? Why do you allow it to happen? And God says, it's the same reason I allow my son to be crucified on the cross. Have you ever given a gift, or probably you made a lovely gift and give it to someone, and the person said, and it was not appreciated? It hurts. And God gave his only beautiful gift, his son, to his own people. And his own people rejected him. Why did you not intervene, God? It's the same reason why I did not intervene. When Pilate, it was customary at that time to release a prisoner, and he told the crowd, who should I release, Barabbas or Jesus? And they said, Barabbas. And then Pilate said, what do I do with Jesus? And the Pharisees mustered the crowd, said, crucify him. But what has he done? I find nothing wrong with him. And they shouted, crucify him! Crucify him! Could I have intervened? Yes, I could have. Why did God not intervene? When God created Adam and Eve and made us into his image, he gave us something. He gave us free will. Free will to choose to do good or to do evil. And because of this free will, God allowed things to happen, because if he did not and he interfered, that is not free will. If I want to do something and I'm prevented from doing it, that is not free will. And that's why God did not intervene, because we have a choice to do good or evil. And if God were to choose not to allow evil, only good, none of us will be here. He will have to destroy the whole earth. Because in Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. All. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. So none of us will pass the mark. There's a saying, hurting people hurt people. I guarantee all of us have hurt someone in our lifetime. So, should God intervene? I have done the same. Okay, I did not commit murder, I did not commit rape. But hurting someone, is one sin worse off than the other? So why did you not intervene? Because I've given free will to choose good and evil. So God wants us to focus on the good in all things, whatever your situation, give thanks. Give thanks. And that is the will of God for you. And in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. And God understands the situation that we are in. And sometimes the process of healing may take time. May not be instant. God understands that. But he will get us through. In time, we will get over it. But don't forget to forgive. If not now, don't forget to forgive. Because God doesn't expect us to be like a robot where we can just switch off or just press the erase button. He understands, because he says there in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So that there are times when there are a delay in doing what you need to do to forgive. Sometimes it's hard. God don't expect you to just, if something so horrible, to just say, oh, forgive and forget. It may take time. But in Ephesians, it says, don't delay. As far as possible, get it sorted out as soon as you can. And forgive, because if you don't, it will destroy you. So, get help. And as soon as you can, but however quickly you can get it done, forgive. And part of the reason I think I recovered pretty well, because the doctor was surprised when I saw him. And he said, he was surprised and he checked me over and he was very pleased with my recovery. And I think it's, well, partly is I believe God healing touch, and also because of my psyche, I chose to give thanks. I chose to think. And I think somebody said that when you're suffering like cancer, if your mindset is negative, it's worse than a person who have cancer and has a good outlook. The healing is better. And I thank God for that, because long before we knew that I had cancer, we already booked our flight to Malaysia, and we were wondering, would I be able to make it? And thank God, you know, I healed so well that doctors say, yeah, should be no problem. And, you know, I managed to fly home. And thank God for that. And for no reason to this day, we don't know why, but when we came back, the airlines decided to upgrade us into business class. You know, we were going, oh, you've been upgraded. Oh, but then Emily said, oh, there's four of us. Okay, wait, let me scan through each other. Oh yeah, upgraded. And we had quite a treat, you know, quite an experience. Also, quite frightening, got to know what to do. How do you get the table out? Yeah. So it was a pleasant surprise. Yeah. So thank God. So God is good. And just to encourage, you know, no matter what situation, do not let circumstances or situation get on top of you. You can rise above it. Why? Because we have a God who is more than able. A God who can. I know that because I don't like doing this. I don't like standing out. And I don't like preparing. It's hard work. But I knew long time ago, God spoke to me, asked me to do this. And my heart is racing. I'm scared. It is a fearful thing to do. And if for those of you can remember when I first started, I kept close to my script. I would read, wait a bit, then talk. Read a bit, then talk. And God has helped me during this time. I can feel the Holy Spirit talk and He will tell me something, and I go off script. I'm not bound by the script, although I do need it. But sometimes I go off script and the Holy Spirit, you know, go in this direction. So I go in this direction, and it's easy when you follow the Holy Spirit. Things flow. I'm not stuck with words. It just come from here, because Holy Spirit say, Bokong, go in this direction. It's fine going this direction. And I enjoy that when the Holy Spirit does that. But the only thing when I've already delivered what the Holy Spirit say. I'm here and my script is over there. Sometimes that's the only thing I get awkward, because I've gone there and my script is there, and sometimes it's difficult, you know. But I've learned that, you know, it doesn't matter whether I do this well or not. The main thing is that if I just listen and obey, who knows, I might be with God speaking to someone, and if I fulfill that, I'm glad. It doesn't matter whether I can do well, I can speak, I can't even pronounce some of the words. The main thing is, I trust and obey. It's difficult, it's always been difficult, but God has taught me ways to overcome. And when I get, sometimes I get so worked up and I can't read, so I learn to ask people to read for me. And I learned that, you know, the body, when you are in a state, it produces a lot of things. So I use a lot of deodorant. Because when I first did it, I show Emily, oi. So, yeah, the body reacts when you're fearful. And so now, so, so Thessalonians 5, New King James Version. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Philippians, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Because by default, we are negative. And God's solution is, think about positive things. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Do not go into your default state. Rise up and be God's children.